Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is February 14th, 2025, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 79 in Into Action. That first paragraph, although these reparations take innumerable forms, ending with, we have to be, we must not shrink at anything. All right, today's readers. For the steps, we have Tenzin P. For the traditions, we have Joni C. Reading the text is Joni Y. Page 164 is Anita L. Our backup reader is Judith S. P. Newcomer greeters Leland P. Second hour host Eileen M. And announcements, Kathy S. All right, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, February 13, 2025. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,165. So that's 22165. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 22,166. 22166. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P is going to share the 12 steps with us.
Yes, Tenzin P in New York, grateful to be here. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all people, persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
All right there, Tenzin. Thanks a lot. Next up is Joni C. with the traditions.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has what one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Joni, and thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we're back in the big book and into action chapter 6. We're on page 79, the first paragraph, and it starts with, although these reparations take innumerable forms, and it ends with, we must not shrink at anything. So, Joni Y. is going to start us off.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Joni Y., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding, reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. Thank you very much for letting me do service today. I have a lot of notes on this paragraph, but there are three things that are underlined a bunch of times. Reparations, strength and direction, and right thing. And reparations are the making of amends for a wrong or some that you've done, you by paying money or otherwise. But the other thing that really stuck out with reparations was the compensation, that would be the word that you would use for a compensation after war, and for example, Germans and others had to pay reparations, and I think probably because Bill was a veteran, perhaps that word was on the front of his brain. But it also is so relevant to my experience with as being a compulsive reader and bulimic. It has been a war and for me and the making of amends was difficult for me because I had played the victim for so long. It was kind of like, why would I, what do I need to do that for? I haven't done anything wrong. Everybody send this to me. But obviously, it over this long process, it's taken me a long time to come to the spiritual connection. I always thought it was just, I just follow the steps and I do whatever I need to do. And it just wasn't happening. And it wasn't until the spiritual experience, going to any length to find the spiritual experience. It's that connection with my higher power that I was missing. And for me now, I first got into program in 1984, but it wasn't until Vision that I found that that it, my living amends are what is what I, my 24-hour period of my living amends is what has made a huge difference. Those are my reparations in war. But so thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I pass.
Thanks, Joni. Appreciate it. All right, so we're going to open up the lines for sharing, and you know the deal. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to share. And I know it's tough. It's a feeding frenzy here. Just one at a time, and we could get this wrong.
Harlan G.
Okay, Harlan.
Cindy, New Jersey.
Reva.
Okay. I got Reva. I missed the one before.
Cindy, New Jersey. Thank you.
Cindy.
Jackie M.
Melissa.
Jackie M. Jackie M. Melissa.
Nicole S.
Nicole. Anyone else? We got space.
Nancy C.
Shanna
right,
C. Tennessee.
Nancy C. Shanna.
Ben W. from North Carolina.
Look at that. Man, I was just going to say we could take one more. Awesome. So that's a pretty good list. Harlan, Cindy, I got to get the first initial of the last name. We'll get it when you come up. Reva P., Jackie M., Melissa C., Nicole S., Nancy C., Shanna C., and Ben W. All right there, H., you're up, buddy.
Thank you very much, Russ, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. These reparations comes from the same root word as to repair, the amends, the reparations, the restitutions. These are words that mean we go out and we repair the damage from the past. Now, in this paragraph, I'm reminded that no matter what my life is, I have to pay a hefty price. If I want to eat, that means I get the relief of Twinkies, I get the relief of chocolate, but I can't get in and out of a car. I can't walk like I'm walking now. I'm outside walking, and that's a blessing in my life. For the bulimics, that means damage to the esophagus, sometimes surgery, sometimes life-threatening procedures. For the anorexic, life-threatening situations with enzymes, with all kinds of electrolytes and things like that. If I want to live free of the food, which I live today, that means I have to take the money that I have and give it back to the people that I stole it from, and I don't want to do that. I have to face the shame, and I have to face the guilt and the remorse and the fear, the terror of admitting that I lied right to your face and wrote a bad check to you. I wrote a check to you that was less valuable than a piece of toilet paper, because at least you could do something with that. I have to humble myself. But in exchange for that, I get to live free today. What is the purpose of this? Why do we do this? What connection does this have to my eating? Because without knowing it, it is the guilt, the shame, the fear, the remorse, the self-loathing, the discomfort, the ennui of the disease, the ennui of these buildup of emotions that has been driving me into the food in search of relief for decades and decades of my life. And when I already feel better, when I am free of the guilt and the shame and the remorse, when I'm free of the fear, my mind does not focus in on the sense of ease and comfort that comes instantly by eating the food. Thereby, this terrible cycle is not set in motion. I don't trigger the allergy, and I don't pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution to do this again and again and again. So I am free when I face these things, because treating the diet part of it, that's treating a symptom. Food is not the problem. The eating of the food is the solution to the problem. The problem is here. The guilt, the shame, the remorse, the self-hatred. That's the problem. And when it's removed, I no longer eat that way. I no longer live that way. And I can live a life of freedom. I think you told me my time's up. I get 20 minutes. They get 3. Don't you know that? Okay. Thanks, Russ.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
All right. Next up is Cindy, followed by Reba P. But, Cindy, I got to get your first initial your last name. I didn't grab
that. I apologize, Russ. It's Cindy SM from New Jersey. And thank you for the opportunity to speak. And as always, it's wonderful to hear Howlin'. And when I talk about my reparations with taking the step and making my amends, I think about my emotional outburst. And I can agree with the former speaker that food was only the symptom. I had family situations going on with suicide and also a family member with abusing my child. And I had to be put out of my home. And, you know, nothing justified my behavior, but no food, no drug could deal with this emotion. So when I had to go back and make my amends to my family members, I had to take accountability for that, you know. And I can still see today, even after 40 years in this program, numerous AWOLs, big book, doing 10 steps, I still have to put a hold on my emotions. And, you know, this past week, I had another coworker pass. They found her in her car. And thank you, God, it wasn't from drugs and alcohol. And what do you do with this emotions? And you know what? I don't want to annihilate my poor husband, but I don't want to eat either. So you know what? I turned to the fellowship. I turned to my writing. You know, I didn't want to get up at 5:15 this morning and do grief work, but that's what my book teaches me. You never give up on yourself. You never give up on God. And I have to take responsibility for my emotional outburst and my behavior, what I did in the past and what I do presently. And you know what? I have to risk looking like I'm holier than thou. I could go to church 7 days a week, but it doesn't do anything for these emotions that surface, because they are real. And, you know, when people used to say feelings aren't facts, I'll say, well, you know what? I defrosted in this program with adult child issues. I came from alcoholism, but I am so grateful to be 1 out of 9 children to get this program and all the people that did their labor of love before me to get this recovery. And my responsibility is to do my work and help others. And with that, I am so grateful. And I have seen the personal consequences of my disease. And thank you, God, I had a sponsor take me in. You know, she knew how to take care of me. And I am so indebted to her today after 40 years. But I just want to give people hope that this is the solution. work the program, work with your sponsor, work with the fellowship, because there is an end to doing this work, that you can lift your head with God and find the personal freedom in your spirit. We don't have to eat, and we don't have to hurt ourselves or anybody else. Thank you, and thank you for your service.
All right there, Cindy. Next up is Reva P., followed by Jackie M.
Good morning, Russ. This is Reva P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater back in Toronto. I love the reminder, after giving me all these examples of different kinds of restitution, reparations, amends, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because lack of power is my dilemma. I need this spiritual experience, awakening, relationship with power, because that's what keeps me in a position of neutrality, so that the food doesn't call me, so that I don't go back to the substance that I'm allergic to. So I like the reminder of the overarching, you know, why am I doing this? But for me, what strikes me is the willingness or the decision to go to any lengths. Because, you know, a lot of times before certain amends that were really challenging, I think my sponsor was almost like joking with me. I don't have to want to do it. I don't have to like doing it. It's not comfortable doing a lot of these things. All I have to be is willing to do it, and willing to go to any lengths. And a lot of times it doesn't feel great at all before. The freedom comes after. After, if I'm going to wait till, you know, I feel comfortable or ready or whatever, it might never happen. I just do it. And then the freedom comes after. And I love the reminder that I get strength and direction by asking God. So yes, I seek counsel with a sponsor, and I check that, you know, the amends are not going to do more harm, that it's not a selfish thing to make myself feel better. But it, the final strength and direction is when I ask my higher power, you know, is this an appropriate amends? You know, be clear on what the harm was and what I'm amending for. And all the must at the end, I have to be willing. I have to be willing to go to any lengths. I need to clean up all the mess that I made, because my behavior did and still does affect other people, which I didn't realize how much and the extent to which it did. Yeah, and I just have to be willing, and I cannot shrink. I can't pull back, because anything I pull back on is a potential block to accessing the power. Yeah, so I know willingness to go to any length sometimes gets a bad rap, but for me, when it comes to amends, all I have to do is be willing. It makes it so much easier, and not expect to even like it. But yeah, it does feel amazing. Most of the time, the freedom is just awesome after the fact. So with that, I pass.
Thanks, Reva. Next up is Jackie M, followed by Melissa C.
Hi, Russ. And everyone, the sentence there that which everyone has been saying along is, I decided to go to any length to find a spiritual experience. We ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing. And that's the difference now in my program than I went years ago. And I just sat in the meetings, and they turned out just to be talking about problems, or there was no real solutions. You know, we didn't want to eat, but what were we to do? We looked at the steps on the wall and thought that was for just, well, I'll do that if I, well, maybe I'll do that. You know, I never even ventured there. But to have that true spiritual experience, to know that there's a higher power greater than me, and I can't ask that higher power to do it for me, because I have to do the footwork, as we say. I have that choice. I have the first thought is Jackie's thought. The second thought is my higher power's thought. and if I can choose to react to that. And it's been a whole different lifestyle. And every day is not great. I mean, I can go out, I can say this now, go out, go to work, whatever, and there could be a display of food all around. And it was going to get my attention, you know, because I always look at food. But then I have that choice, you know, nothing really might have bothered me, but there's that food. And I have that choice that I don't want it. I don't want it because I know I will eat myself to death. I will. I don't want to take that chance. So it's just great. It's wonderful. And I appreciate everyone. Thank you.
All right there, Jack. Appreciate it. Before Melissa C. jumps up here, let me let you know where we're at if you got on the meeting a little late. So we're in Into Action, page 79, that first paragraph. And we're reading, although these reparations take innumerable forms, and it ends with, we must not shrink at anything. So, Melissa C., you are up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And, you know, I read this and it's like, okay, these are going to take many, many forms, this way that we're going to set things straight, make things right, and that ultimately I'm going to, you know, what I get here is that this is about having a spiritual experience. This is all about forming a relationship with God, right? And that's why, you know, that's ultimately why I'm doing this, that I need to have this relationship with God because I have no power on my own. And that, you know, I'm willing to go, you know, when I set out, you know, to make restitution for harms done, I set out with that as my goal, right? Like I want to get this relationship with God. I'm going to go to any length for this spiritual experience. And I have to say that today I have to, you know, I have to continue. It's not like one and done. Okay, I got this spiritual experience and now all good. I have to consistently continue to have to want like that above all else, that my relationship with my Creator above all else, that I have to continue in that vein. And so, you know, for me, I always share what's going on in my life because these, you know, this set of directions applies to my life. This is not like a dead document, but this is a living document that is guiding me today. These are my guiding principles. And, you know, I got nasty with my sister. I got a tone with my sister. And one of the things that I learned in my amends, you know, when making amends, is that talk less, which I laugh when Harlan says he wants 20, you know, he should get 20 minutes. Yeah, me too, dude. Me too. You know, I'm chatty. And I learned when I'm going to clean up for the things I've done, like say what you've done, take ownership and say how you're going to fix it, and then give them an opportunity to tell you anything else that needs to be done. And for me, you know, anything when I'm going out there and cleaning it up, if I talk too long, what happens is I'm trying to explain why I was entitled to do what it was that I did. And, you know, I'm grateful that I've got this way of life, that this is continuously my set of directions because, you know, I got short with my sister. I got a tone of voice with my sister. We're having a hard time, all of us, with what's going on with our mom. It's terrible. It's painful. And I got off the phone with my sister and I told my husband exactly, you know, what I said to her. And, you know, I'm so tired. And my husband, who's so, thank God, you know, has gotten an education from me doing this program. He said, I think you really need to see it from another angle. Right. I think you need to see it. Thanks. I think you need to see it from her side. And I can because I want a relationship with God ultimately. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Nicole S. followed by Nancy C.
Hi, this is Nicole S. I'm recovered in Colorado. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And so I love this paragraph that starts off with just a reminder that I have decided. So I've already made that decision that I'm going to go to any lengths for a spiritual experience. So I can't hold back on this. I got to keep going forward because the decision is to no avail unless it's followed by action. So I can't hold back or I'm going to be blocked from God. And, I want to stand before my Creator with a clear conscience. So whatever I have, that personal consequence may be, it's more important to be unblocked from God. And when it says, we ask, that means I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God for that strength and direction to do the right thing. And I know with me, the more I try, the more I fail, and it's because I don't have the needed strength. I don't have the needed direction and wisdom. But when I ask God to give that to me, I have everything I need, and I have that strength and I have that direction. So, with Him, I don't have to shrink at anything. I can have keep just taking that action, going forward, not shrinking at anything. And I read in another program literature just yesterday that courage is fear that has said its prayers, and I thought, wow. This right here, I'm asking, I'm praying God to help me with whatever direction he wants me to do the right thing. And that's going to look different in all situations. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all thing. Just a really, really great reminder for me that I do have that strength and direction as long as I'm praying and I'm asking God to give it to me. Thank you for letting me share.
All right, Nicole, thanks a lot. Next up is Nancy C., followed by Shanna C.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thank you for your service. Good morning, Vision
yep.
family. This is Nancy C., recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning. At some of these, we balk, right? An easier, softer way. And boy, did I think that I always had an easier, softer way, or I didn't, my disease did. This takes me back to we stood at the turning point and half measures avail us nothing. And I think for a long time in this program, I had my own rules. I did most of what I was supposed to do, but when I got to amend, some of them were like, are these really important or are they not? And it does, this is a warning. It says if I want that spiritual experience, if I want that closeness with God, I have to be completely open. I can't have these little ducks at my feet saying, oh God, don't look at that person, or you don't need to make those amends, or because it puts me in, as other people say, it puts me in the shadow of the sunlight of the Spirit. I'm now behind a tree and I can't see fully what God has intended for me. And if I truly have done the steps up till now, I am in the process of getting that spiritual experience where I do want to be close to my God and do what is right. And so He protects me as I make these amends and helps me not shrink. And I don't go in by myself. It is regardless of what happens to me, I know I am safe and protected if I stay close and connected to Him. And that's what I've learned as I've gone through the program, that food is not the solution. And my disease telling me I can't, I need to listen to my God telling me, oh, but you can because I've got you. Getting through all of the amends and doing them with God at my side and without the fanfare of what happens or what doesn't happen is the most beautiful thing that I can do in this program, walking shoulder to shoulder with other people and knowing that every day I can do that and keep my side of the street clean, I get closer and closer, and that spiritual experience gets bigger and bigger. So thanks for letting me share. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Thanks, Nance. Forgot about that. I got to get out shopping here. All right, next up is Tennessee, followed by Ben W.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. Thanks, Russ, and thanks to everyone who shared. Grateful to recover, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Grateful to be on the line. You know, one of the things, amends have just been absolutely the very place where I got to experience the reality of a power greater than myself at work in my life and doing for me what I can't do for myself, because a lot of times going into these amends and making these reparations, because my brain is going crazy because I'm trying to, you know, whatever. But I get to walk through that by taking the action of these written black and white directions. You know, it's kind of like getting out of a smoke-filled room, you know, the directions on how to get out of a burning building without suffocating first. So grateful for the black and white directions in the big book, because when I take those actions in that big book, I'm literally placing myself in the hands of my creator. Doesn't feel like it, but thank God we don't live by our feelings. One amend that kept coming to my mind, and so prior to this, this was one of those deals where I'd made my 8-step amends list. It was a financial amend, and I put it down on paper, the approximate amount, this kind of thing, and I had been praying for a long time. God, help me be willing. I pray for the willingness and the opportunity to make this amend. Anyway, I had been living in Charleston for quite a few years, and we had moved back to Tennessee. This was quite a few years ago, and I'd started going to a gym that I used to go to back when I was in college. And then as I approached the door one day of the gym, a thought came to my mind about a woman that I went to college with that I used and owed a financial amend to. I mean, this kind of stuff. It was just, but I had it all written down on paper, had the list. She came to my mind very strongly. I hadn't seen her in over a decade, didn't know if she was dead or alive, married, didn't know how to find her. This was before really I was even active on Facebook or anything. And I just looked up at the sky as I was walking in, and I said, God, if I'm supposed to make amends to this person, you're going to have to figure it out for me, because I don't know how to contact her at all. Like it was sincere. I had the sincere desire to set right the wrong. So I go in and work out. A couple of days later, I show up to the same gym. I had taken money out of the ATM, cash. I had some greeting cards and just so happened to have this stuff. And I'm so walking in. I walked in, saw that girl on an elliptical machine right as I walked in the door. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. I went back and I got on my knees and I prayed, because I was freaking out. I was shrinking like crazy, right? Anyway. Made a quick call, and the sponsor didn't answer, but nonetheless, the drastic step was indicated. I ran out to the car, wrote a quick note, stuck the money in the envelope, approached her, and I approached her, and I said, hey, do you remember me? She goes, oh, yeah, you know, this kind of thing. Maybe I'm in right then and there. 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. What I thought was going to be a punch in the face was grace and mercy given to me that day. And she's one of my best friends now, and the only thing she God, I don't want to get frothy and emotional here. The point is, took the action. I got more faith that day in the reality that God's got me and he really cares about this stuff, and I get to do this stuff, and it works, it really does. And she's my dermatologist now. Thanks, that's all I have.
Thanks, Shanna. Next up is Ben W., and then we'll take a list, but we got that big announcement. You know what's going on. All right, Ben.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. This is Ben W. from North Carolina. I am a compulsive overeater. I'm fairly new to the program and have been reading the big book and working with a sponsor. And one thing that really popped out to me from this section is we must not shrink from anything. And I know this is about amends, but given where I am in learning kind of about the steps about myself, it's like I can't shrink at seeing who I am. Clearly, I'm not who I thought I was. And a thought I've had is if I don't know where I am right now, it's going to be really difficult to get where I want to go. there's a lot of coming to terms with just kind of what I've done. I mean, the food is a problem, but I see it is not the root cause of my issues. I mean, it's, you know, the spiritual healing, learning that I need to do is really pivotal in being able to recover. I am just stunned by what I'm learning. And I've recently reread the doctor's opinion, and in the last sentence about coming to scoff but remaining to pray. I've been aware of, you know, the 12-step program, the big book, and it's got stuff in it to help people. And I must say that I have been a scoffer for a long time until it actually became really important to me. And I am so amazed how rich it is. The bits I've gone over and learned, and it's just quite illuminating. And very, very moving. Just hearing the recovery, what others have overcome, and seeing, you know, where I am, what I need to do, and the courage that I need to have to not shrink at anything. Because this is the only path, and I am so happy I have found a group that can share their experiences. It is massively encouraging. Thank you all, and I pass.
All right there, Ben. Thanks a lot. So before we take our next group, you all know what's coming in November. 25 Power to Big Book Weekend, a vision for you. It's a Big Book convention, and it's going to be November 7th, Friday, November 7th, to Sunday, November 9th, and it's going to be at the Newark Liberty International Airport Marriott. It's a mouthful there, but that's in Newark, New Jersey, where we usually have it. There'll be meetings, there'll be speakers, fellowship. You'll meet everybody, be able to put a face to the voice, and it's like our thing. It's like a little celebration of what Vision for You is. And to get more information, you just go to our website, Vision for You. AVISION number 4YOU.info, and you'll see it. It'll say Power to Big Book Weekend. You click it, it'll give you the countdown, give you all specifics about meals, what's going on, and then there'll be another little link to get early bird register. And we hope to see everybody there. It's going to be a great weekend. All right, so we are into action. That first paragraph, although these reparations take innumerable forms, ending with, we must not shrink in anything. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back. Give others share. We could take about four more shares.
Karen,
so Anne-Marie. Karen, 1 second. Anne-Marie M. Karen K. Who else?
Mark Z.
Kaya.
Mark Z. Kaya. Okay, let's go with that now. And when you jump on, let me know where you're at, okay? Where you're calling from. All right, Emery, you're up, but I know where you're from.
You know, I'm from Rhode Island. I live in South Carolina. I always want to make that clear. But anyway, Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, and recovered through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it just occurred to me today when I heard a share talk about making these amends for a relationship with God. And then it was like the moment. Light bulb moment, I call it spiritual awakening. Each one of these steps helps me to develop a relationship with God. And then when I get to step 11, I get to improve my relationship with God. And the way that I improve my relationship with God is to do 12-step work, because that helps me to stay in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It helps me to go through the book with another person. But that was kind of a side note. And I also heard that, there's amends. We look at this from an entirely different angle. That also, I caught that this morning. And in the most important part of step four for me is the prayer part. And it's kind of at the bottom of page 66 where it says, we were prepared to look at this from an entirely different angle. And I love that. It helps me. It kind of just like snaps my fingers. Like it's like, oh, yep. I need to look at it from the other person's view or other person, another angle. Look at it from their angle, like it was mentioned earlier. But the line that stuck out to me was, see if I can find it. These reparations take innumerable forms. So I too walked into a gym. I was sitting in the gym and this man walked in and my heart just went from my chest down to my feet. I felt like the blood rush out of my face and my body. And I realized that I owe this man an amends from when I was a teenager. Excuse me. I had not even had him on one of my fourth steps. I did not. And this kind of an amends was like maybe an on the spot amends, like a 10-step they call it. It's an on the spot. And I wanted to shrink. I thought, well, I probably really shouldn't do anything. I had been, recovered for a little while, and maybe I should talk to my sponsor about this. And then maybe the next time I happen to be at the gym, he might happen to be there, and then I can do my amends. And I had that God consciousness within me say, no, Anne-Marie, now's the time. And I prayed. I guess he went into the men's room and then he came back out. And when I saw him, I approached him and I apologized. And my heart was beating so fast. And he said, oh, my gosh. He says, that was years ago. We were just kids. And he started laughing. Don't worry about it. And I just said, well, I am sincerely sorry, for my part in that. And wow, what a weight. Every time I, oh, okay. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. Next up is Karen Kay.
Hi, this is Karen Kay calling from Virginia. And what I kind of heard today and was reminded of, in this paragraph, it talks about we may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. And, here I am thinking I have like a really great reputation. Like, yeah, people know me. Like, I'm good. I'm a good person. I'm out there. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, the people that I've harmed, like, they don't really think I have a very good reputation. And so within the past 4 or 5 months, I learned of a harm that I did to my nephew 10 years ago when I was in the food, I was in the drink. And it was his wedding, and I'm like, gosh, why isn't he, like, saying a speech, like, thanking me, his godmother? Like, this is so weird. And like, what happened with my relationship? And I really, like, I asked my sister the next day, his mom, and she shared with me about a statement that I made, a really harmful statement that I made that he overheard 12 years ago. I had no idea. My family is full of family drama, and I was never made aware of it. So automatically, I got this nudge from God, clean this up. I'm like, well, he just got married. I don't think I should bother him right now. And I had wonderful people in my life saying, clean this up, recovered compulsive overeaters, clean this up. And I felt like God was really directing me to do that. And, I ended up writing out my amend to him because I get very nervous and I he was up visiting his mom, and I went to visit him, and his mom isn't in the program. So his mom let him know that I was going to be making this amend. So for a 20-something, you know, pretty much unwell, kind of like a mini-me at that age, with his own demons that he's battling, kind of made a list. He kind of came back at me. I made the amends. I read my stuff, and it went sideways, completely sideways. And all of his life trauma and family trauma and et cetera, just spilled out. And, you know, I left feeling really uneasy, but I felt really taken care of by God because I did what I was supposed to do. And I am so incredibly grateful that I had God, I had a loving sponsor guiding me through this. And you know, this is part of both of our journeys, how this went. And I just have to say, you know, three or four weeks later, he texted me and he said, you know, Aunt Karen, oh my gosh, I can't believe how strong it was for you to do this. I'm so grateful that you told me this. And I apologize for how I responded. I have a lot of work to do. He took responsibility. And that is like something I don't know that I could have done in my 20s. But we have a new chance at a relationship, all because of God and because of this program. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it. Next up is Mark Z. And we might be cutting it close, but let's see where you're at.
I am from Minnesota, Yasher, you betcha. Yeah, it's cold up here, I tell you what. But it's warm in my heart as I think about this reading. We ask that we be given strength. Boy, that is the crux of my recovery right now at this point. And I am so thankful for this meeting and all the wisdom and beautiful love I hear in your voices, helping me to little by slowly, 1 millimeter per day recovery. And I'm glad that I can hear myself laugh at, you know, yeah, this is can be a difficult program. Stir up and bring to the surface things I see in my own character that I'm thinking, oh boy, here's another thing to ask for strength on. And I had a thought this morning that maybe I can develop a spiritual discipline of the very first thing in the morning when I receive consciousness from sleep, roll out of bed, hit my knees, and thank God that I can ask for help. Oh, man. I was a very obstinate, self-willed, I could give you a litany of all the, how my self-will manifested and its destructive nature to myself and others. Ugh. So, yeah, I just want to be thankful right now, give thanks to God that I can ask for strength, that I didn't destroy myself, but I got to this point now where I'm thinking that I am so thankful that I can ask for strength. And I think we have a loving God, like it says in the traditions, that, you know, We just have to ask. And so, yeah, I'm going to, you know, try to develop that habit, asking for help, asking for strength from God. So glad to be here. I love this meeting and hope you all have a blessed day.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot. Mark's going to be our last share because we're cutting it close. Kaya, if you could just hold off to the next meeting, There's ample time to share there. Sorry about that. I'm not great with the math. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. So today's share ID, Friday, February 14, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. It was 22,167. That's 22167. All right, so we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anita L. please read a vision for you? A book is meant to be suggestive only up until keep you until then.
Yes, of course. Anita L. in outside of Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pay.